baking. Tell me what kind are we making? Looky, looky, what a cookie, 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 oh! Sugar cookies, peanut butter, chocolate chip, here comes another. Looky, looky, what a cookie, 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 oh!
Yeah, welcome to Nocturnal Journal. The highlight of my summer last weekend in Louisville. My buddy John Hughes and I went to a Cookie Lady bobblehead night. We have the Cookie Lady on the phone from Louisville. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you, Elizabeth?
I'm doing terrific. How are you doing, sir?
Thanks for staying up with us. Elizabeth Cazito and your husband, Todd Bartlett's on the phone.
Yep, I'm right here, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. It was just such a remarkable experience. Let me do it real quick, and then I'll turn it over to you. Last summer I was there. I'm a big baseball fan. Went to a Louisville Bats game, and there's Elizabeth going up and down the aisle selling cookies from a basket on top of your head. You've been doing that for all 20 years of the stadium there, Slugger Field, which is why they honored you with the bobblehead, right?
Yes, sir.
So how did this all start? How did you talk about coming from Africa to the United States and baking cookies?
Well, I never had cookies before, and I started making cookies for myself so I can eat as many cookies as I can. Then I started selling them to my co-worker. That's how it started. And I've been in downtown Louisville, and I sat on the street for about 6 years. And I went door-to-door selling my cookies downtown Louisville.
And you, you started on the street, and you were telling me, we have an article we're going to post with the podcast where I did a deep dig on your life, but that's what you did back home. It was street vending and stuff, so you brought that to the streets of Louisville.
Yes, sir, that's right.
And then how did you get involved in the baseball stadium?
Well, when the stadium was built, I was vending with a company which got a contract with the Louisville Bats. And I asked them if I can sell cookies down there when the stadium is finished. They said, sure. And I was so excited when they allowed me to sell my cookie down there because it boosted my business 100%.
The outpouring of love for you last Friday night was just remarkable. I think there were over 8,000 people who showed up. John and I had dinner over there by the ballpark, and we saw people in line as early as 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock thing. We were keeping an eye on you, and
they
stood in line all night getting your autograph for these bobbleheads. So it wasn't like they were going to sell them on eBay or anything. They really, really, you've really resonated with the community there.
I was so excited. I feel like I'm still going on with it because I never had a birthday like that who feel like winning a lot where everything was like rolled in one.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I wrote in my story, you know, we're always going to be a welcoming, and both of you can respond to this, we're always going to be a welcoming nation of immigrants, but at any one moment in time, something as simple as a cookie can bring us all together. And that's really what happened last Friday night.
Yes, sir. That was terrific.
Yeah, I think the city really, it made me proud, you know, to be from Louisville, you know, because the city did really show up and show Elizabeth how much they loved her. And it was really touching to see.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's a simple thing, but, you know, it meant a lot to a lot of people.
Talk about the last number I had was 14 flavors. Talk about some of the flavors and actually how people can find your great cookies.
Well, people can find us online at Cazito.com, and you can order online. I think we've got 14 different flavors.
Yeah, we have chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, and peanut butter snickerdoodle. And we have pumpkin chocolate chip, which is everybody loves those cookies. I make them all year round. And we have a cookie called Lucky in Kentucky, which is delicious.
Yeah, talk about the Lucky in Kentucky.
It's white chocolate, dark chocolate, and pecans.
Yeah, and which is the best seller?
Chocolate chip is always I sell everything.
Elizabeth, when I talked to you earlier, I never asked you what's the recipe. What makes your cookies different than Chips Ahoy or stuff like that?
They're homemade and all go through my hand. There's no cookie goes through my business without me being touched by me.
Yeah,
somehow through packaging or selling or counting.
Yeah, I think that the ingredients are not that unusual. It's what she does to them. You know, she makes every cookie herself. And there are things you can put in a cookie that aren't really on the ingredient listing, if you know what I mean, Dave.
Yeah, right. So you're going to be there throughout the rest of the baseball season. You're also going to be from a booth I have here at the Kentucky State Fair, August 15th to the 25th.
Yes, sir. I've been doing that over 30 years. It's been exciting. I like that time of year because it's so hot. And I sit in the air conditioner all for 11 days straight.
And you have a physical store. We drove by that. John and I went by that on Bardstown. Talk a little bit about that. And you were talking about how it's arts and crafts. And when people walk in, they're kind of surprised to smell the bakery in the back.
Yeah, we have a store where we sell African crafts from Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda. So it's been like I want to share my culture with the customers who come in my store.
Wow. And go ahead.
Elizabeth really started out selling the crafts, and, you know, because of the problems in Uganda, her homeland, with Idi Amin and stuff, she wasn't really able to get the handicrafts out, and that's sort of when she started or restarted the bakery. Her father actually ran a bakery in Uganda when she was a little girl. And so she kind of restarted that business. And now it's really kind of a hybrid of an African art gallery and a bakery.
And you're probably going to stock more bobbleheads there, you said.
Everybody's asking for bobblehead, and we're going to reorder.
You're going to reorder some?
Yeah, because a lot of people didn't come to the game and didn't get in it, so they all wanted bobblehead.
Before we let you go, and thanks again for staying up with us, talk about, this is like a movie. You were really born under a banana tree, and you're the oldest of 36 children from different mothers, of course.
Yes, I was born under a banana tree in Uganda, Africa. And we are my mom had 9 children.
Your birth
and my
mom.
Father had 36 children.
And your father had 36, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And it was common. I mean, people were born outside there, right?
Yes, sir. Like about 60 years ago, people were having kids outside their house.
Yeah. And then you came to the States, and you got a degree in environmental health, Eastern New Mexico University?
Yes, sir.
And then how'd you end up in Louisville?
My ex-husband was from Louisville. We moved here together from New Mexico.
Okay. And what was the first thing you did? What was the first thing you did when you got to Louisville?
I went to Kentucky Derby.
That's the very first thing you did.
Yeah, well, I came around that time, and I've been here about Kentucky Derby forever, so I went to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you guys are give us the website again so people can find out more about you and visit you in Louisville. It's not that far from Chicago.
It's kizito.com. That's KIZITO.
And thank you so much. It really was the highlight of my summer. It just made me, you know, like I told you guys, there's a lot of dark stuff going on. It was just such a feel good moment to spend that that night with you at the baseball stadium. So thank you for what you do.
20 years of hard work for her to get there.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, you guys. Let's stay in touch. Okay.
We will. Definitely.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Thanks. And listeners can hear read the whole story about them on the podcast that'll be out this week. So thanks a lot. To Kizito Cookies. We'll be back with more after this on WGN. Next up in the All-State Skyline Studios, Dave Hoekstra on Nocturnal Journal, and we have our friends for Polkaholics making a return visit to the Nocturnal Journal. How you guys doing? Can you hear me?
All right. It's almost polka time, huh?
Okay. How you doing? You want to introduce the band and give us a quick song?
Yeah, I would love to. On the bass, we have Blitz Lidster. On the drums, Reckless Rusty. And my name is Dandy Don.
Okay, take it away.
We're going to play the Dave Hoekstra Polka.
WGN Radio.
WGN Radio.
Well, everybody loves the show.
Everybody loves the show.
It's the day. It's the day.
Dave hosts the show.
Hey! Tony and to Glencoe.
Tony and to Glencoe.
East to West Chicago.
East to West Chicago.
Well, everybody loves your show.
Everybody loves the show.
It's the day. It's the day.
Dave hosts the show.
Humbled. That's really something. And you got the name right. It's not Hoekstra or anything. It's Hoekstra.
We tried our best, Dave.
Well, thank you so much. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We're happy to be on your show. Thanks so much for having us on Nocturnal Journal.
I wish I had this much energy. I could learn something from you.
You got to play the poker, man.
So talk about a little real quick before we break for the news. I mean, the history of the Polka Hawks. You guys formed in 97.
That's right. We formed in 97. We just, you know, we started playing polka music. And, you know, at first we weren't sure if we could even pull it off. And we're still not sure if we can, but we're still going at it.
That's Dandy. That's I can't see over. That's Dandy Don, right?
That's me, Dandy Don. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I was going to ask you, how has the scene changed?
Well, the traditional polka scene has changed in Chicago. You know, it's more traditional old-time bands. There's not so many clubs around anymore playing polka music. But we're trying to keep it going, screaming in the 21st century. That's right.
Well, you're off to a good start with that theme song. That song rocks.
You know, polka's the only way to rock.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just flabbergasted. We got to take a break for David Jennings and the news, and we're going to come back, and I want to ask you where the accordion is, okay?
Oh, yeah, we threw that in the Chicago River.
Okay, so don't go away. The more Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
All right.
At 6:35, a conversation with a veterinarian who has done it all, and I do mean he's done it all. You won't believe what he's done with gorillas as one example.
Steve Dale's Pet World, tomorrow morning at 6:30 on WGN Radio.
The pulse of our community flows through all of us. It propels you to explore your passions, serve your neighbors, and build new connections. It reverberates with meaning and force, propelling forward the lifeblood that connects us. But what if one day the pulse stopped? We are Versity, Blood Center of Illinois. We're driven by the urgency of our work and inspired by the generosity of our donors. It's our privilege to safeguard these gifts and ensure they go to where the need is greatest in our community. There is no substitute for blood. It is precious, it is perishable, and the need for it is vital. Your blood donations keep the pulse of our community strong. Schedule your donation at versity.org or call 800-72-GIVE. Together we are a beacon of hope.
A beacon of hope. A beacon of hope. A beacon of hope.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe.
Killed the poker stars.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we want to talk about that song we interrupted there. How are you guys doing? We got the Polkaholics in the studio, Dandy Don on guitar and vocals, Blitz Linster on bass and vocals, and Rusty back there on drums.
Reckless Rusty
on drums. So, talk about the song you just played from the new record, Polka High, The Hippies Killed the Polka Stars.
Right. Well, you know, the polka was in its heyday in the 1960s. There were a bunch of polka clubs all over Chicago, and then the hippies came. And after that, you know, there's like less and less polka. So we're trying to bring it back and to teach those hippies a lesson, because polka's number one in Chicago. That's right.
Were you guys at Woodstock?
We were, but they kicked us out.
Can you? I don't know if the listeners, because we went to the news. Can you do that in a Gotta Da Vida riff again that people can hear on the record?
Sure.
Yeah. It's got to be the only time Inagata Da Vida has met a polka yeah, thing.
The beer barrel, Inagata Da Vida, Sunshine Your Love.
Yeah, you mentioned Baby Doll, and I was asking you before you went on, what's the club scene like for if you want to hear live polka music?
Yeah, it's pretty much in banquet halls in Southwest Side suburbs, but there still is one club, Rudy and Ann's, 5788 South Archer. They have polka bands on Sunday afternoons, typically, and that's like it. I mean, there used to be, you know, Division Street from Ashland to Western was called Polish Broadway. There was polka bars all over the place. But yeah, that's, again, we're trying to bring it back screaming.
And how's that working out?
Well, we're here, right? We haven't been arrested yet.
You've got some gigs coming up. Talk about that, Taste of Polonia.
Yeah, we're always happy to be back at Taste of Polonia, Copernicus Center. We're going to be playing Saturday, August 31st, 12:30 to 2 p.m. And then just like Ernie Banks, we're doing two that day, because later that night we're going to be at Beat Kitchen as part of the Scooter Fest. And there we're going to, I think the whole thing starts at 8 p.m. And then in October, or September, October, we got tons of Oktoberfest gigs. So lots of chances for people to hear the Polkaholics.
The Slaughterhouse Scooter Rally. That's at the Beat Kitchen 2100 West Belmont.
August 3rd. That's exactly right.
Have you played that before?
No, we have not played that particular event. We played Beat Kitchen many times years ago, but we're going to bring the polka to the scooter people for sure.
That makes sense, of course. You know, when I was listening to the record today, and I want to go back one more time to Hippies kill the polka stars. Talk about, because I heard a little, and Don, I don't know if you get this on the vocals, I heard a little Joe Strummer, a little Clash attitude.
Yeah, for sure.
So talk about your guys' DNA. I mean, I know there's little Wally, but talk about the rock and roll angle.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, punk rock and polka music just seemed like they all had that DIY spirit, the do-it-yourself spirit. And I loved punk rock in the late 70s. I saw The Clash, saw a bunch of the bands, Buzzcocks, Johnny Thunders. And so, yeah, when we started the band, that was the idea, in a sense, to fuse the punk rock of the late 70s with the Chicago-style polka of Little Wally, Ampelaires, Eddie Blazonczak, Marion Lush, Naturals, and all of those great bands.
David Jennings, are you there?
I am here.
Tell us your Jimmy Stir. You're the last guy in the world. I think they have a Jimmy Stir story, but tell us about your Jimmy Stir story. Like, I know a follow-up question.
My first job doing news and radio was a very long time ago, but it was a place in Middletown, New York. And there was this guy on Saturday afternoon who would have his monitors in the studio. Whenever he popped the mic off, it's like the walls would vibrate. But it was polka. And many moons later, I finally heard someone talking about polka, and they mentioned his name. I didn't know that I was doing news in the radio show of, well, polka royalty. The guy's name was Jimmy Stir.
That's great. Now, keep with us, David, because when I used to write about this for the Sun-Times, can we talk about the different styles, not to get real wonky about it, but talk about Little Wally style and Jimmy Stir style, all these different styles of polka.
Yeah, that's the thing that blew my mind, was the different heterogeneity in the United States. The two styles that you're mentioning, Jimmy Stir came out of the Eastern Polish tradition that played very fast, syncopated kind of polka. Wally revolutionized it here in Chicago, slowing it down, and to me it just had more grit and just more of a better sound to me, the Wally honky style. But there's also German style, there's Slovenian style, there's Mexican style, conjunto style.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's just so many different great styles of polka music in the United States.
David, did they talk about Jimmy's style? I mean, we talked before we went on the air. I mean, he did these albums with guest stars and stuff, but did he get it deep into that at all?
No, I never. I hate to admit this, but I didn't listen to him. I was the news guy. I'm writing news in the background, and it's like, you know, I'm not listening. I happened to look him up on Google, and he's still around.
Yeah, he is.
He is. Yeah.
And he's still playing and still touring.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like whatever he's doing, it works.
I want to say he even played a Farm Aid once. I know Willie Nelson's been on his records.
Yeah. You know, Willie Nelson used to play in polka bands
in
Texas.
That was one of his first gigs.
That's
right. He would say that. Talk about, Don, talk about how Jimmy Stir's success affected the Grammys and stuff.
Right. So, he's probably the most notable polka artist of the last 20 years or so. So he would win the Grammys every single year, with few exceptions. Brave Combo won it twice. Eddie Blazonczak won it once. I think there was a couple others, but he would regularly win it. And so there's some thought that that's why they got rid of the polka Grammy, because, you know, the question is, who's won the most Grammys of all time? The answer is Jimmy Stir.
Is that because he always had all these, like, famous people on his records? He did a bunch of those for Rounder, at least two or three.
Right, right. No, I can't say why he always won, to be honest. I would prefer if Eddie Blazonczak won more. Let's put it that way.
So it's always been three pieces, right?
That's right. Guitar, bass, drums.
Why no accordion?
Well, there's plenty of great polka bands out there that have accordion and traditional instruments, clarinet, trumpet, squeeze box. You know, we play it the way we know how to play it. So when we started the band, we don't know those instruments. We know how to play guitar, bass, drums. Let's try it that way.
Blitz and Reckless. Can you guys hear me? Can I call you Blitz? Call you Blitz and Reckless?
Yes, you can.
We're on that type of level. How'd you guys join the band?
Well, we both played. Who's with
it?
Don.
Which one is this?
This is Blitz.
Okay, Blitz, take it away.
We both played with Don way back before the Polkaholics in a band called the Bouncing Balls at different times, and then we got called recently. In the last, I guess I joined the Polkaholics in 2012 and Rusty a couple of years ago.
I'm the fourth Spinal Tap drummer. I don't know how I'm going out, but it's going to be spectacular.
And what are the bands you guys played in before this?
I don't know.
Well, we all were in the Bouncing Balls, as Blitz said, but we also have a Johnny Thunders tribute called DTKLAMF.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yep. We haven't played out in a while, but you know,
well, here's keep an eye out.
Yeah, we can do it.
A whole another Johnny Thunder show for you.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Where do you guys play that?
That's how we did it, was at Quenchers, actually.
The opening for the Polkaholics.
We did double duty.
That's right.
And so, Polka High, www.thepolkaholics.com, right?
That's right, thepolkaholics.com, exactly.
Thepolkaholics.com. First, like, LP record in, like, 10 years?
Right. You know, the last thing we did was our famous polka rock opera called Wally, all about little Wally and his life. Because we thought, hey, the Who's got Tommy, Kings have Arthur, why can't the Polkaholics have Wally? So we did that. And then, you know, that after that, it's taken us a little while to get back. But we're back now with Polka High.
You're going to play another, we're going to try to get one more song in, but there's some great, great songs in on here. Nothing Like a Bush, we were talking about. Talk about that. That's a Bush Beer song.
Yeah, you know, early on we had a song for Old Style, and we were trying to get some marketing from them, and that didn't seem to be successful. So we thought, oh, let's try another really low-class beer. We'll try Bush. Why not?
You should go. Archie's, they've been on the show over there in Ukrainian Village. I think they serve Bush.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in Chicago that serve Bush, as we found out. Yeah. We've enjoyed them many places.
Nothing like it.
How do these songs come together? Like, I was listening to Blue-Haired Lady, and you throw in the Aquanet references and stuff.
Yeah, you know, Blue-Haired Lady was definitely inspired by the Baby Doll, because, like, if when we went, we played there while it was still around, and in the women's washroom, there would be Aquanet hairspray, and there would be, you know, some of the people that worked.
How do you know what's in the women's washroom?
Vera told me. My wife, Vera, told me. But anyway, so, you know, that was sort of I was thinking about that place and that kind of thing when we came up with Blue-Haired Lady.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to have one more live song, okay?
Oh, we're here for as long as you want us.
I love you guys. Thanks a lot. Don't go with more Nocturnal Journal and the Polkaholics after this on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we got the Polkaholics in the Allstate Skyline studio. How you guys doing? You doing all right?
We're doing great.
You like the water I brought in for you?
Yeah, but it doesn't have it's not beer.
That's right.
It's polka juice.
That's right. You know, it's you guys stay true to that. What you do is so unique. You stay true to that oom pa pa sound, but then you also have that attitude of what we talked about, the Clash and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you handle, like, I'm doing air quotes in here, of the novelty thing? I mean, do people look at you as a novelty actor? Is that
you know, some people do, but I always, you know, I think we have elements also. I think of, like, the Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers honored blues music, and they're trying to do that kind of thing, but they had elements of comedy, of course, because they were comedians. Now, we're not comedians like them and that good, but, you know, our approach is kind of like that. We're trying to have fun with the music and really bring back the spirit. See, the thing that bugs me a little bit is, like, polka music used to have a lot more entertainment, a lot of this sort of what we're bringing back. And now I feel the bands, they kind of sit there with sheet music in front of them. They play music. To me, that's not very entertaining. So we're trying to reconnect with, again, with the Lil Wally, the 50s, 60s style of polka music that was prominent here in Chicago.
Talk about why Lil Wally is so important in what you do. And again, I interviewed him a couple times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got the polka beat at the Sun-Times out of default because nobody else wanted to.
Right, we know how that goes.
Yeah, right. Just like while I'm on the air tonight on Saturday. But he was like a promoter. I remember he had these little postcards.
Oh,
and he really was really self-promoted everything.
Without it, you know, he was completely DIY. Think about this. When he was like 20 years old, he got signed to Columbia Records. He put out two 78s at that time. He didn't like the way they sounded. He bought his own pressing plant to record his own stuff, to put out his own stuff on JJ Records.
Yeah.
I mean, he did everything by himself. And like you say, he was completely into marketing, promoting. I mean, when I first met him, you know, he comes off the airplane. We did a couple of shows with him before he passed on. And, you know, the guy was always on. I never, you know, experienced somebody like him. He was just one of a kind, just an amazing guy.
There's really no one, I mean, you know, well, the Blazonchik's kids, right? I mean, who's carrying this on besides you guys?
Well, there's a lot of traditional kind of polka bands that play at traditional fests, but there's also the sort of more bands like us, like the Bulls and Beer Band from Nebraska. There's
There's a Milwaukee Polka Riot that we participate in. The Milwaukee Criminals play at that. Brave Combo, of course, have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Polka Side in San Francisco. So there's Polka Boy in Indianapolis. There's Polka Brothers in New York. Many of these bands have elements of rock and polka, but we're the only ones that have strict rock instrumentation. Most of the others have some traditional elements. So that's how we're unique, I suppose.
Boy, you guys are really, really great. So Polka High, tell people how they can find it.
All right, so you go on our website, thepokaholics.com, and we're selling it via CD Baby. That's another place you can go, and you can order it. And you can also get it through, what those modern things. What do they call them?
iTunes.
And iTunes or whatever. It's like, yeah.
Just a fad.
Yeah, it's just a fad. We'll sell you an 8-track if you want one, too.
I mean, you're going to play us off with a song, but it's got I Have a Mother, Don't Need Another.
That's one of the songs on there. The one we're gonna play out with is the Blue Haired Lady one that we were talking about a little earlier.
And it's got Didn't Know I Love You Till I Saw Your Chicken Dance.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
That's great. Okay, well thank you so much. The gigs again are on August 31st, Taste of Polonia.
That's right. Taste of Polonia. We'll be on 12:30 to 2 o'clock, and then later that evening we'll be at Beat Kitchen for the Slaughterhouse Scooter Jubilee, and that starts, I believe, around 8 p.m. There's like about four bands. We're going to be one of them. I'm not sure the order yet. So we're doing a twofer on August 31st.
Well, thank you, guys. Thanks, Dandy Don.
Thank you,
thanks,
Dave.
Thanks, Blitz Linster.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Reckless Rusty.
Thank you.
Thanks, Roe Coleman, for the production. Thanks, Adam Phillips, for the fine engineering. And we're going to play it out with Blue Hair Lady.
Where, oh, where is my blue hair lady? She drives me crazy. She makes me lazy. Where, oh, where is my blue hair lady? Knocking me out all night.